Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott.
And everything's coming up podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Barnica Bill's Home. Oh, let me try that again. This episode is brought to you by Barnacle Bill's Home Pregnancy Test. We are also brought to you by Shotgun Pete's Wedding Chapel. Ooh, we have a lot of sponsors. We are also brought to you by Slash Co. Knives. Shake hands with the Slash Co. Handle first. We're also brought to you by Ye Old Candle Shop in Ye Old Springfield. And lastly, we are brought to you by the Pitiless Pup Attack Dog School. Oh my God, did I pass the audition?
Well, we already have their money, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. We are, of course, talking about the episode I Married Marge, which is the 12th episode of the third season. It was directed by Jeffrey Lynch. The showrunners were Al Jean and Mike Rice. And it was written by our special guest this week, Jeff Martin.
Hey.
Hey, hi. Nice to be here.
Hey, thanks so much for being on our show. It's always a treat when we get people that were actually there.
Well, it's a pleasure. I actually have a question for you. After I agreed to do this, I went and listened to an episode about Streetcar Named Marge. Mm-hmm. And you said in that one, this episode was written by Jeff Martin, who's going to be a future guest on the show.
and
the episode, well, but that you taped the episode last February.
Okay, so
am I like the loose girl at school?
No,
you just assumed I'd say yes.
Here's what happened. So a mutual friend of ours, Adam Murray, I reached out to him asking for your email, and it was actually right after you had done Stonecutters at Meltdown. And freaking Adam Murray took forever getting back to me with your email address. So I'm going to put him on blast right now that I didn't get your contact info until just recently.
Well, it's not that I'm a tough get. It's just I was curious.
Very funny.
Your
well,
utter confidence that who will be a future guest on the show.
Like a true millennial, we are very confident, and we're going to take on the world, and we can do anything.
Okay. So. All right. You go, girl.
Oh, thank you so much. You wrote this episode, so we don't normally we ask, why did you pick this episode? But you wrote it, and it's one of my favorite episodes. I think a lot of fans' favorite episodes, because is it one of the first times that we're seeing like a flashback of Homer and Marge in their early years?
It's the second.
It's the second,
I think.
The
Way We Was is the first one.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's right. The Way We was the first one that Mike Reese and Al Jean wrote. And this one, I guess, would be the sequel to that.
And yeah. But it is the first of the kids' origin stories, because we do eventually get Lisa, and then we eventually get Maggie. So it's the first of those.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. It was. I came to write a few of these flashback episodes because I also wrote Lisa's First Word, which would pretty much pick up where this one ended, and then Homer's Barbershop Quartet.
Of course.
Which was just a sort of loony flashback.
Yeah, no, but it was so fun.
That didn't really bear any resemblance to reality. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think everyone was happy with how The Way We Was went. And so it was natural to, okay, how did they get married? How did they Homer get his job? And actually, I remember the late Sam Simon thought we were being very inefficient with this one.
Wow, really?
Well, it was just, I remember the episode, of course, entails them getting their marriage and Homer getting his job at the power plant and Bart's birth.
That's a lot in one episode.
It is. And I just remember Sam sort of, who had just turned over the show running reins to Mike and Al, just sort of uneasily saying, you guys are chewing up a lot of real estate with this one. Mm-hmm. And I see what he's saying. Like,
right,
it seems
right.
Like you could get an episode out of each of these.
Yeah, that could have been true.
And we were just sort of, we weren't storing any nuts for winter. We were just needlessly running through a lot of story. But he, when the episode came out, Sam acknowledged that it turned out well and he liked it.
Mm-hmm. It also is very realistic, the idea of these, you know, this pregnancy being the catalyst for a marriage and getting a job to fund both things. That totally makes sense. I mean, it really does.
It's kind of a simple story, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what's, I watched it again in anticipating doing this, and I was really struck by kind of how naturalistic it was.
Yeah.
How there's scenes like Homer and Marge really just hanging out.
which is so good. And even just the way that it's a very accurate depiction of like different friendships and relationships. Like just a brief cutaway from when we get to see Barney's apartment or like where he's with. It just really accurately depicts like two friends hanging out.
Yeah.
Eating cookie dough.
Yeah, with exactly.
Eating cookie dough. Now, and I love that image of the cookie dough bursting,
right,
too.
Right, right. Let me tell you, that one was funny because I was just remembering when I was a young guy or a kid eating cookie dough. Uh-huh. You know, it's just sort of something an idiot young guy does. And, of course, we're all used to cookie dough ice cream. And I looked it up. And it's like that episode would have been written around the start of 1991. Mm-hmm. And later that year, Ben and Jerry...
Son of a goddamn bitch.
Put out cookie dough ice cream.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that? It was visionary.
I'm on to you, Vermont motherfuckers.
Look, I know this is real tiny minutia, but I guess that's what we're doing here, right?
Yeah.
That is funny, though, because, I mean, I was born in 1991, so I've always had The Simpsons and cookie dough ice cream in my life, and I think that's why I'm a pretty happy person. Like, I've never had to live a life without it.
That's the reason.
Wow. Don't lose that quality.
I'm sure your therapist is very proud
right
now.
That very simple, childlike aspect.
So you mentioned writing a lot of the flashback episodes. Is there any particular reason? Did you pitch these episodes particularly? Or?
No, I think this was handed to me. I think I was...
You just became the guy that was good with that kind of history?
Oh, I don't even know about that. I think Mike and Al had been the guys who proved themselves good at it, so I can't really claim that. Once I'd written this one, I suppose, when the idea came around for Lisa's first word, I guess, again, I was sitting right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Around how old were you when you were writing on The Simpsons? Like, what had...
I started when I was 29, so and we're three seasons after.
I've done nothing.
Yeah, what are we doing with our lives?
I'm sure you guys are many years younger than that to look at you. I tell you, I was the only writer on staff who was in the room every day who had kids.
Oh, wow.
So that might have helped me a little.
Yeah. With these episodes, you think? Or?
Well, possibly. Well,
with
more.
Staying
well,
on
with
the
Lisa's.
Simpsons?
Well, I'll tell you, with Lisa's first word, things like when Bart's stomping around the house going, like, I am so great.
I
am so great.
I love that.
I love it.
And one thing taken from my life was when I think Bart flushes Homer's wallet down the toilet, and Homer's giving him a stern talking to him. You know, Bart, don't ever do that again. Do you understand me? And Bart just pushes Homer's nose and goes beep, which my little daughter would do to me.
And, oh my God!
Know, things like that.
I melt.
and just the in the end of the episode we're talking about, I Married Marge, where it's Homer tells the kids, not a day goes by we don't thank God for all three of you. Marge comes in, Homer, I'm not pregnant. Yes.
Yeah.
Not that you have to. Have kids to make
right,
that observation
right.
That kids are both you love them to death and the thought of taking on another is crushing.
Yeah. How many kids do you have?
I have two daughters, and the second one was born during season 3.
Oh, wow.
And I wasn't seeing much of them while I was writing for The Simpsons. My wife and my older daughter Samantha came by the writer's room. One day, and they were like, just to back up a little, that writer's room was like a dorm room.
Yeah.
Just in terms of crummy.
Hygiene.
Yeah. We were all kind of putting on weight and getting pale.
Yeah.
The furniture was crummy. It was poorly ventilated.
Wasn't there like a caramel stain on the ceiling?
Yes, okay. Yes, there was. There really was. That's true. Oh, dear. And,
yeah, it was the inspiration for the waffle that got stuck up there.
That's right. It's
We've
true.
We've done our research.
And my wife and brought our little toddler daughter, and they were like wearing matching sundresses to come visit. And they just didn't belong there.
Right.
It was just wrong.
Two pristine little angels walk into this terrifying room.
It's really true. And yes, you do not pluck angels from heaven and throw them into a soiled writer's room. And my wife that night said, "I'm not going back there again." No. And I was like, no, I don't blame
you. Bring your child to work day initiative at the Fox Studios.
Yeah, no, not one. I'll tell you a funny story. This is just, so many memories. When I was, we mentioned the Streetcar episode, mm-hmm. and to write the songs for that, just to do a temp track for the actors to sing along to, I had to stay up real late doing it. And I was playing and singing into a microphone in our little house at 3 a.m. And my wife came in sleepily from another room and just mm-hmm. said, "Oh, honey, do you have to sing?" And I was like, "Of course I have to do this."
Yeah.
You think I'm so full of life I just can't keep it in. Of course.
It was in your heart.
Yeah, no. It was on the one hand a reasonable question, but also one with an obvious answer.
I'm sure anyone in a committed relationship can relate to that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very funny. So you mentioned before we started recording that you'd written a lot of the songs in The Simpsons, during the era, from those seasons,
2, 3, and 4
that I worked on.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it was special to me simply because when I first joined the show, you're just very keen to fit in and prove your worth.
Yeah.
And when it was decided that it would be good to write a song for when Homer was the baseball mascot and the song Capital City, and it'd be like, it'd be good to do a New York, New York type of song here. And I said, let me try that, because I had written songs when I was writing for the Letterman show through the 80s. And so I wrote Capital City and brought it in. And and everyone listened to it. And Sam Simon, who was running the show, said, "Grand slam home run."
So
you could just sort of, you feel some of the weight fall off you. Wanting to prove yourself.
Was that like your first big victory on staff? Or do you remember like when you like got him? Because there's always that waiting period.
Well, just in terms of a joke, a smaller one was for the Halloween episode. We were trying to think of a title for the ones where the aliens abduct them to prepare them for a feast. And we were trying to think of titles. And I pitched Hungry or the Damned. And the great Jim Brooks said, "Oh, I like Hungry or the Damned." Yeah. And it's just like, okay, there you go.
I think that's
the first joke.
That's great.
I got on. And I know it's just one joke, but of course you remember it very, very clearly
because
you had a rush of adrenaline at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't made him laugh.
It seems fairly easy.
It's not
easy.
A hard laugh.
I listened to his Mark Maron episode.
Go knock on his door.
Yeah, go knock on his door. I got to say, I listened to Songs of the Key of Springfield and Ghost and Sonic like on a loop for years and years and years and years. And a lot of your stuff is in there. And it's burned into my memory forever.
Oh, cool. Well,
like,
it's some fun stuff.
Commercials.
Well, it was so fun for something like Capital City, where then Alf Clausen does a whole studio orchestra, Sinatra, Nelson Riddle type arrangement for it.
That's so cool.
With like a 50-piece orchestra. It's like it's very exciting, and you're thinking, "Oh, this will blow people away." And of course, by the time it goes through a TV speaker, the impact is lessened a little. But those were good memories, and then Tony Bennett sang that one.
Yeah.
And it's funny because some people on the staff were nice enough to say, "Oh, you should write a musical." And it's like, check out these songs sometime. They're like 20 seconds long.
Right.
Don't get carried away.
There's a part in that Capital City song that has always perplexed me where Tony Bennett, so they're like driving past him, the Simpsons are, and they're like, "Oh, look." Marge goes, "Oh, look, it's Tony Bennett." And he goes, "Hey, good to see you. Why did he go up at the end? Was that a direction?
Yes, it was, actually.
Okay.
It's very funny.
Why?
Thought it would sound good.
Oh, okay.
He was saying, "Hey, good to see you." And I
it's more musical the other way.
For what it's worth, I said, "Try good to see you."
And, oh, that's funny.
I don't know.
For some reason, I mean, I like had a probably 20 minutes too long conversation with my friend about like why, like, because nobody greets people like that, but it does sound better in the song. It just made us really laugh.
The answer is yes, he was directed to say it that way. Wasn't Tony Bennett's crazy
idea. The mystery has
been
solved. I will text my friend Casey.
What is your musical background that led you to writing?
I took piano lessons.
That's all.
And I really liked musical theater and did it in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you guys did too, didn't you?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. All yeah. right.
You've pegged us correctly.
Safe guess.
I write songs about The Simpsons.
Cool.
Yeah. I will have to show you a song that I wrote that is nowhere near as good as the stuff that you wrote, and then you could say, "Stop that."
But it was like I said, just it was a little something I could do that I was very happy to have a little corner where I could contribute.
Yeah,
because we have a funny one was for the monorail song.
Yeah,
which is pretty funny because mm-hmm. the lyrics for that were straight out of Conan's first draft,
yeah.
and we never changed a word of it. And I was asked to write the music to it, which was basically bump 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 done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I've always said to Conan, you know, you contributed. Elton John needs Bernie Taupin.
You guys are the band.
Give him something to take off on.
Yeah. And you mentioned right. earlier you went to school with Conan.
Yes. We were, so many of the guys on The Simpsons were Harvard Lampoon guys.
Uh-huh.
And I was 20 and Conan was 18. Mm-hmm. When he got on the Lampoon, so I've
so you were his superior and you never let him forget it.
Well, not his superior, but I was like his I was like an older brother, and it mm-hmm. is funny because we still, you know, even though he's vastly successful and famous now, I would say our relationship is still.
Isn't
like
that funny that
Isn't
it
that
never
funny?
Changes? Yeah.
That's right.
It's like people that you meet, even if they're just 1 year older than you, but you met them in high school, when that matters, they'll always be like your older, you know.
Well, he says like that I was like Dean Martin to his Jerry Lewis, which is so funny because I which makes him, he's putting himself down, making him sound like he's
yeah.
goofy and I was smooth. And it's like, he wasn't really goofy. He was very impressively
yeah.
funny, you know, even when he was
yeah.
18.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was smooth when I was 20, it was only relative to how I was when I was 18.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think a smooth 20-year-old is terrifying. You don't want that.
You're
life.
Right. You're probably right. Okay.
What's going on there?
Let's tell ourselves
why do you have so much confidence?
Yes, it's good that I was so awkward when I was 20.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank goodness for that. So
now we're gonna just go through kind of the episode, kind of beat by beat, and we'd love to get any specific things that you have. Obviously, you have more insight than we do, just as fans. But for those that haven't seen the episode in a while or need to be caught up.
Yeah, we like to read the synopsis, so just a very brief Wikipedia-approved synopsis. I'm sure you will cringe at how overly simplified this is. Anyway, in the episode, Marge worries that she may yet again be pregnant and drives to Dr. Hibbert's office. Sorry. While anxiously waiting, Homer begins to tell Bart, Lisa, and Maggie the story of how he and Marge got married and how Bart was born. Yeah, that was pretty good. Sometimes they, like, leave out full B-plots.
It but really is yeah. very like simple. Everything makes sense. It just flows very naturally. We see the different jobs that Homer tries to get, and you know, just everything makes sense. It mm-hmm. works very well.
Yeah, and I love the opening of this with the pregnancy test. What is it? Barnacle Bill's home pregnancy test. If the water turns blue, a baby for you. If purple ye see, no baby thar be. I thought that was so funny.
And if ye test should fail, to a doctor set sail.
Yeah.
I also love Homer's motivation of, this one comes with a cork on pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, want to just go through it beat by beat?
Sure. So we start with Homer and Marge taking the pregnancy test. And not long after, so Marge, of course, goes to the doctor's office. And not long after, we see Homer when he's younger. And, of course, we really love Homer with hair. We always think that that's very fun to see. And,
that's
you know.
Right. And Marge has less hair.
Yeah.
Which is so
yeah,
cute.
Which is
it
really
is cute.
I don't know what it is about a shorter haircut that would make a woman look younger, especially since no one in the planet Earth has hair like Marge's, but mm-hmm. you do agree, just like, that's how you draw her young. But I also, I mean, I know that this is something that's been talked about, particularly in this episode, is the pupil size, which if you'd like to, you remember
well,
that.
I remember just the animation company for that one had for that episode, started drawing the Simpsons eyeballs with a stencil. Uh-huh. I guess, and somehow it's not a huge difference, but the eyes are just a little bigger and a little more perfect circles. Mm-hmm. And once it's pointed out to you, you can't miss it.
Right, of course. Was that Klasky Chupo that was doing it, or
it was like something in South Korea? I thought, right?
Yeah, I thought they'd left Klasky Chupo at that point, and just I couldn't tell you exactly how it all went down, but I remember when we saw it, it was like, gee, what's the deal with the eyes?
Yeah.
Well, something that I think is funny is that some people were saying, I don't know if it was writers, but because I think I remember hearing this on the commentary, just that like it made them look a little bit high or a little bit intoxicated.
Or like they'd licked a toad or something.
Yeah, exactly. To me, it works perfectly in this episode because it is, you know, they're all younger. So to me, to have like a more like energetic eye presence is like it makes more sense because they're just cuter and more innocent, and so I really like it, but it is very noticeable
if it works. That's purely by accident.
But just because we jump around in the podcast, you know, we saw a more recent episode yesterday, but then today it really stood out, but it's very cute.
Yeah I like it. I mean,
it's really fine.
Mm-hmm. Just the animation of these early seasons, I don't know, I like it because it just feels a bit more real than like the super digitalized sort of streamlined version of the animation that we see in the later seasons. There's just something very like, I don't know, tactile about this that mm-hmm. I really
it's more realistic. And it's funny because the show was considered extremely fast paced at the time, and mm-hmm. you watch it now and it's like, oh boy, is this ever slower?
Yeah.
Than the episodes now and most TV shows now.
Right.
Like when Marge and Homer sing You Light Up My Life, it's like they sing it for like a minute.
I really love that though. Like that's something this does feel very different from, you know, some later episodes that we love equally, but you're right that the pacing is different. But it's kind of relaxing and nice. Relaxing is a weird way to describe a show, but there's something very calming about it, and I really like it.
Yeah, about this episode, and also just how sweet Homer and Marge are to each other in this episode.
They're tender.
They're just very devoted to each other. I don't know if you could you do that now?
Through? Yeah, not without it seeming kind of sappy or without you wondering if there was like something happening behind the curtains. Like, why are they doing this? But in this, it's so genuine. And I mean, this episode, I've seen it so many times, and I honestly cry every single time that Homer writes the letter to her. It makes me cry every time. And then just how heavily Marge is affected by it, the onion ring, it makes me cry every single time.
Aww. Yeah. I've seen a lot of couples that have like taken like bits from this particular episode in like their Simpsons themed wedding proposal, or you know, I've at least seen a couple people online, you know, have like onion rings.
Do the onion ring bit?
Yeah, they've done it, which is very sweet. And you know, so we're bouncing around a little bit, but they're dating, and I like that Marge kind of, I mean, so she's getting some attitude from her sisters for dating somebody like Homer, but she's just very like loyal and defensive of him. She sees this sweetness and she doesn't quite know how to articulate it, but she knows that he's different.
Well, they would have been dating for about 5 years here.
Yeah. Really? Oh.
Well, I hadn't thought this until I watched it the other day. But they met in high school, and I think Homer is 24 in this one.
He is.
So it means they've been dating 5 years or so at least, and they are happy. They're a young couple in love. It's sweet to see.
Yeah.
And Homer. Well, the mini golf course. The first Simpsons episode I wrote was Dead Putting Society, which invented Sir Putt-a-Lots.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have a thing for miniature golf courses. Yeah. I still do. I'll drive by.
They always
one
give you the flashback
on the highway
episodes.
And just like, hey, change of plans.
They're fun. They're kind of like tiki bars where they're like frozen in time, and they're kind of nice.
They just tapped into something when you're a kid. Just that there's something, you know.
Let's all go to one, right?
A fun center. A whole center devoted to fun. Wow.
It is funny. The one miniature golf place I went as a kid, I liked a lot, particularly because they had the Simpsons arcade game. So for me, it was definitely associated with the Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine was the Sherman Oaks Castle Park. Have you been to that one?
Many times.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I got kids.
That makes sense. Yeah, we used to go there a lot for like YMCA daycare field trips. And then I'd be like, see you losers later. And I'd go play the Simpsons arcade game. But yeah.
Something I like about the flashback episodes and the Halloween episodes are kind of just the way that the stories are told. Like there's always the story itself and then the storytelling aspect of it. So in the Halloween episodes, you get like it's, you know, they're reading out of like a book or they're telling scary stories. And then this one, mm-hmm. Homer is telling the kids. And it's really funny to me and it makes it that much better that the kids couldn't care less, like, you know,
right.
They truly sprint away when Homer starts telling the story again at a later time.
That's right. And he forces Maggie to listen to the rest of the story. Mm-hmm.
I really like how Maggie is forced to love Homer and Marge in a couple scenes of The Simpsons. There's another one when Marge feels kind of like she, you know, she's been a little bit abandoned by the other kids. And just like hugs her too tight, just like you think I'm cool, like you're gonna stay here. And it poor Maggie, but mm-hmm. it's a good story. Yeah. And it even makes Lisa cry at one point.
Was that the summer of 4'2"?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just making sure we're on the same page.
Well, it was always fun doing flashback episodes simply because, you know, you had different things to make jokes about.
Yeah.
So you just So you just think like, okay, so this would be set in about 1980, and you just think, all right, I was like a sophomore, junior in college, mm-hmm. and all right, Empire Strikes Back.
I was gonna say this is one of the best jokes.
Which
I think about it every time I walk out of a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, you're as pretty as Princess Leia and as smart as Yoda, or Homer giving away the ending.
Homer giving away the ending.
Right.
Well, thank you, Mr. Blow the Picture, for
that's
me.
That's one of my favorite lines. Oh, good.
I went and saw that movie my sophomore year of college with Mike Reese and Al Jean. Is that funny?
Oh, really?
I know. Yeah.
That's fun.
We were teenagers.
Wow, what an ending. Who'd have thought Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father?
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Blow the Picture for me.
Marge, you're as pretty as Princess Leia and as smart as Yoda.
Oh, Homer.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so perfect. And it's so perfectly Homer, too. Of course he would just be, like, marching out of the movie theater, ruining it.
That's right.
Yeah. And,
but, you know, Supertramp was in the theaters.
I was just about to say, Supertramp is...
What's in the theaters. Was on the radio.
I was about to say, did I somehow miss their Supertramp Hard Day movie? Night?
And when Homer later pulls off his Gulpin' Blue... He's wearing an I shot G-A-R t-shirt. It's not even really a joke. It's just a reference.
Right.
But it gives you some different things to play off of.
It's all about the environment and this world mm-hmm. that you're creating of,
that's
of
right.
this era.
In the later ones, we defined eras by what Joe Piscopo was doing, which was a funny running joke.
Yeah. Wasn't that referenced in the Homer's Barbershop Quartet?
Let's see. In Lisa's first word, I think it's, a young Joe Piscopo taught us to laugh.
What Joe Piscopo?
And then
Piscopo?
When we were doing Homer's Barbershop Quartet, it was a maturing Joe Piscopo.
Why was that?
Leave Saturday Night Live for Hollywood.
Because he was being.
Because he wasn't all that big a deal.
Right,
and we were
right,
acting like he was defining entire eras.
But I feel like he was being set up to be the next whoever, you know, through like SNL or something, and then unfortunately didn't.
I don't know.
Maybe Simpsons, I'm reading into it.
Oh, Simpsons does that a lot of just like you said, kind of like choosing someone that isn't that big of a deal. And one of my favorite examples is a later one, which is you're going to be big. Gabby Hayes big.
That's right. Well, in this one he says, an exciting time to be alive. John Anderson's candidacy.
Yeah.
I think what you're taking something that was a marginal footnote and acting like it.
Which is super fun.
It's era defining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is fun.
Mm-hmm.
A little snarky, but fun.
I mean, snarkiness can be good and fun and needed.
Patty and Selma are very snarky in this episode, but I also really like their. I like how everyone is shown in a younger way. Like you see Hibbert with his afro and he's thin, and just all the choices are great. A young grandpa does terrify me a little bit. Like he's just so
he's so militant.
Oh
and
yeah. Well, you know, that's something that I don't think that people in my generation and Julia's generation maybe experience as much is just the very militant fathers that I see so much in the shows I watched as a kid. Like, I never had a fear of my dad. He and I were really great friends, and we watched The Simpsons all the time. Julia, I think we both have talked about the, you know, Good Dad Club that we're both in, and it is always interesting just because I don't relate to it, but I could appreciate kind of like who Homer is kind of compared to who his dad was.
Well, yeah, because I think it... part of that generation of parents in general, you know, having gone to war.
Yeah, my dad wasn't in the war.
That's
yeah,
right.
Like, dealing with that
Grandpa
kind of stuff.
Grandpa appears to be at least 100 years old.
I know.
Like
I
Mr.
know.
Burns.
Yes.
Was, yes, from this much earlier generation. But yeah, it's you don't want to get too dark about it, but
right.
when you consider that Homer's mom abandoned him.
Yeah.
And his dad was obviously this grouchy,
yeah,
not very loving guy.
Yeah, and he kind of checks out a
little
bit. Yeah,
watching the TV more.
Well, you could always tap into the emotion of, you know, that Marge sort of saved Homer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you know what? There's actually a really, really great grandpa moment in this episode where, mm-hmm. you know, Homer finds out that Marge is pregnant and he says, son, you've got to marry that girl. Why? Because I got her pregnant? No, because she's the best thing that's ever happened to you. And like, you're
because you'll never do any better.
Yes, yeah. It's sort of sweet. It's almost grandpa admitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He, you know. He hasn't given Homer a good life, but...
Yeah, but he's able to acknowledge the reality of the situation, I think, in a sweet way.
Yes.
Yeah. In terms of, you know, Marge saving Homer's life, it is very funny to... when they go to the doctor, Marge is given a pamphlet that says, so you've ruined your life.
Oh, my God. I think about that every time I go to the doctor as well. Yeah, I mean, there's... The Simpsons is known for their sign gags and how fun they are consistently. But I feel like, you know, it's a opportunity to be kind of cutting with the jokes in like the sign gags a little bit more than like the dialogue can be. Like, so you've ruined your life is funnier on a sign than coming out of a character's mouth, I would say.
Well, we were talking about arcades, and a very first season episode of The Simpsons, I remember Homer's going through a video arcade,
mm-hmm.
and one of the background gags was an arcade game called Time Waster.
Very fun.
Yeah, that's just an early good freeze frame gag.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to see the gameplay on Time Waster.
Yeah. I mean, so you guys were writing these sign gags, you know, unaware that there was going to be this DVD culture devouring and rewatching.
I would say it was just starting up then.
Cause really?
Yes. In fact, speaking of miniature golf courses, I remember in the very early days on the internet, there was some chat room somewhere, and they were... figuring out what all the golf holes were at Sir Putt-a-Lot's. And we were like reading this in the writer's room off of like mimeograph paper.
Wow.
You couldn't get on the internet on a nobody had it on a computer then. It was just starting. And I think you could sort of realize you got a glimpse of, oh, okay, all human information will be at our fingertips soon. But it wasn't then. Another episode, you know the one where Sideshow Bob sings Pinafore at the end of it?
Oh, yeah. Cape Fear, right?
Yes. And yeah. And it was, you know, these days, of course, if you needed the lyrics, you know, you just dial them right up on the internet. And I mentioned this story because it was like, okay, well, let's send down an intern to go buy a CD of HMS Pinafore. And I had mentioned I was a musical theater nerd.
Uh-huh.
So I said, that won't be necessary.
That was your second victory, baby.
Like, yes, yeah. Well, no, that
Jim Brooks
I was half embarrassed to know it because it was like, how do you know these words? I listen to the records. Your parents? No, mine.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Well, yeah, and it's coming in handy right now. So why don't you shut your mouth, Conan? Oh, that's God, great. That's very fun.
To go back to just another line that I think is great. This is kind of around the same time of where we're talking about when they go to the movie. When Marge clearly, she's been, by logic, she's been with Homer for a while. So it makes total sense that she would kind of ask, like, do you think about the future? And Homer's answer is, you mean like, will apes be our masters?
Thank you.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, that was my line. I wish I'd come up with... When they sing "You Light Up My Life,"
mm-hmm.
and that's one of my favorite jokes is she's singing it about God. Oh well, he's always happy.
He's always happy.
No wait, he's always mad.
That's great.
Right. I think that was a lucky late edition. We wrote that on record day.
Yeah.
I remember, and I had known that Debbie Boone was singing. Was supposedly singing "You Light Up My Life" to God.
Yeah.
So I like introduced that, but someone mm-hmm. else came up with "He's always happy." No wait, he's always mad. But the jokes that point out in sort of a dark, profound way some big truth about life.
Yeah.
Always crack. Like,
they're my favorite.
I love those. Yeah. One time Homer was asked on a questionnaire what his religion was. And he says, what's the one with all those well-meaning rules that don't work out in real life?
Yep.
Christianity.
Yep. Yep. I remember that.
Right. Or Marge one time said, she was telling the kids, marriage is a beautiful thing, but it's also a constant struggle for moral superiority.
Yeah.
It's very insightful.
I know. That's so dark and insightful and not completely false.
Yeah, no. Well, I just love the way you guys treat religion in general because I feel like, you can be snarky about it, but you're also respectful. I mean...
Never preachy
for or against, even though The Simpsons do attend church regularly, but, acknowledge the...
show me another TV
flaws.
Family that...
Yeah,
goes
absolutely.
To church every Sunday.
Yeah.
That said, I always think it's funny whenever The Simpsons makes fun of their obsessive TV watching. So when the kids run away, he's like, I thought you were done. And he's like, it had a beginning, middle, and end. And just blaming that they watch so much TV. And of course, it's just so rooted in my brain that... this is just what you would say, but Homer saying just like, don't you ever, ever talk about TV again is so perfect.
Yeah.
And it just defines our generation again, because we're Bart and Lisa's age.
It all happened at the beginning of that turbulent decade known as the 80s. Those were idealistic days. The candidacy of John Anderson, the rise of Supertramp. It was an exciting time to be young.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful.
For several years, I'd been dating your mother and working at the local fun center.
Homer, you're turning the blades too fast. The golfers are complaining. Slow down. That's better. Oh, beautiful. Keep this up, and someday you'll be the guy who hands out the putters.
Yes, sir. I was 24 years old with a beautiful girlfriend and a job with a future.
Hey, you're supposed to be listening to my story.
I thought it was over. You had a problem turning blades. You overcame it. The feel-good story of the year.
It's not our fault our generation has short attention spans, Dad. We watch an appalling amount of TV.
Don't you ever, ever talk that way about television. Lousy, ungrateful, can't keep their, minds on any...
But I love that, what Homer deems precious that he'll go to bat for is, TV. Here's his holy trinity. TV, beer, and donuts.
That's
those
right.
Are, the three things, if you can't talk shit about any of them.
A joke I wrote in a similar vein that didn't make the cut eventually was in the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou episode where Homer... And when he thinks he might have a brother, he said, Marge, I've always had an empty feeling inside, and a lot of it's been filled by you and the kids and TV. But still.
Yeah, it's great.
So, yeah, no, back when these were written, I think there was still an idea, the notion that TV was bad for you.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was a wasteland. And I would
especially
say,
Fox.
Since then, I would say TV is one.
Yeah, TV's
absolutely.
Doing okay.
TV's
it's
doing
always
just
on, and
fine.
That's good.
Yeah, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, I would say. And they're edging, there have been many think pieces written about this, but they're edging beyond feature films, I would say. Yeah, well.
People like TV better than
totally
movies.
I would totally say that.
Easily.
Yeah.
It's yeah. better. The concept is
These days
is better.
It's better.
Because right now, yeah. I mean, most movies are superhero movies.
Yes.
And blockbusters.
It's nice, yeah. yeah. And back in those days, it was more like, oh, movies are great and TV sucks. And,
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting. We're going kind of off topic, but I read an article a couple months ago talking about how, you know, like the Miramax type of Quentin Tarantino in the 90s type of feature films are not being greenlit anymore because they're like mid-budget. It's either super, super low budget indie or super high budget superhero films. They're not taking any chances as far as like the studios go and putting them through, you know, movie theaters and having them be distributed that way. But now we see Netflix greenlighting a lot of those kind of scripts. So that's good.
Yeah,
and like other sources. Anyway, I wanted
TV
to,
is great.
TV is great.
TV That's, has won.
If yes, if we could give one
what to
lesson
do.
From this conversation.
Oh yeah, when remember the Gabbo episode?
Oh yeah, of course.
There, yeah, finally we're going to find out who Gabbo is, and Homer says he'll tell us what to do. Which That's it was so a John good. Swartzwelder line, and I just
he'll
I love
tell
that.
Us what to
he's
do.
He's on
That's
TV,
all we want.
Therefore.
That's all I, we want. As
I give him all authority.
Yeah, yeah. People just want to be told what to do, what to eat,
Homer sure
what to
does.
Watch. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, he's the everyman. He's the embodiment of humanity.
So Homer impregnates Marge.
Homer impregnates Marge.
In the mini golf castle.
Yeah, yeah.
A piece of Simpsons lore.
Yeah. Yes. I also love that they're drinking champagne.
Well, yeah. And then...
we all remember what it's like to have no money
yep.
in your early 20s, right?
He says something about it being impenetrable. The like
impregnable.
Oh, impregnable. Yeah, because I know that he botched a word or made up his own word.
No, it's a
oh,
word.
Oh, no, it's a word. Ugh, never mind. I'm dumb. Maybe I just assume that it's a made up word because it's coming through Homer's mouth. But I love that, it, like, the moment he says that, it's like this big, like, zippy explosion.
It is a word. Yeah,
happens.
I guess actually, yeah, he would have said it's impregnable or something
yes,
like that.
Maybe I just had that filter on.
I love one of the, I remember this joke from when I was a little kid just because it was so funny. For kids, you know, but when they're deciding on what Bart's name is going to be,
oh,
the trial
yeah.
and error. And let's see, Bart, Cart, Tart, E-Art. Nope, can't see any problem with that.
That's right.
Well, I was going to say right before that, it's like so indicative of like the 90s and like what the names were trending around that time when Lisa says, if the new baby is a girl, can we name her Ariel? Which I think, like, I mean, Little Mermaid had come out not too long before.
Those jokes don't date a bit.
No. But
Cool Mo D. Simpson.
The baby's name will be Cool Mo D. Simpson. I love that. That was so fun.
Not all jokes are timeless.
it's fine.
It's the lesson there.
I love it. And then, of course, we see them at, Shotgun Pete's wedding chapel. And I just love that old woman with the Casio keyboard.
Oh, well, I'll tell you about that. Well, of course, Shotgun Pete's, Whiskey Pete's, if you're driving to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, like 1 foot over the border from California, there's Whiskey Pete's.
My Girl Scout troop, we had...
In Prim, Nevada.
It's a state line.
If you just can't wait 30 more minutes to gamble.
My Girl Scout troop, we actually had a
trip. What kind of Girl Scout troop was this?
A rock and roll Girl Scout troop. We couldn't go to real Vegas, so we took our cookie money 1 year and went to State Line because now it's like for families and they have roller coasters and like, you know, flume log rides or whatever. So we went there at I think Whiskey Pete's.
Well, it's Buffalo Bill's, I
Buffalo
think
Bills,
has the
maybe.
What a world
in Prim,
it's
Nevada.
Across the street from it anyway. But I know what you're talking about.
This Girl Scout troop is taking on
roll,
is getting more and more interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
am I making more sense?
Right. So when I wrote for the Letterman show all through the 80s, we did a week of shows in Las Vegas in probably 1989. And we did a tour of wedding chapels, just the cheap Vegas wedding chapels. And one of them had...
That's funny.
Yeah, one of them had... An old broad behind the counter, and Letterman's talking to her, and she's saying, there's a $30 wedding, a $50 wedding, and an $80 wedding. And Letterman says, and what do you get for the $80 wedding? And she says, the works.
Ooh, what were the works?
The works.
A photo. I love it.
Probably what we saw at Homer and Marge's wedding.
Oh,
music and a photo,
God.
Or something like that. But yeah, so that stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And That the voice of the lady was Doris Grau, mm-hmm. who is our script supervisor on The Simpsons.
Oh, awesome. How funny.
Who was a tough old dame. She did not change her voice a bit.
Yeah.
And when we said, hey, Doris, she was Lunch Lady Doris.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the show, who, you remember in the talent, when they're doing the talent show at mm-hmm. the elementary school, and some kid's like balancing on four chairs and juggling, mm-hmm. and she goes, this is a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, God, she's one of my favorites.
She's a great character.
Yeah, I'm afraid she passed away in 1995. Mm-hmm. But she was that character.
Right.
So it's one of those things where, hey, Doris, I think you could do this voice. And she gets in front of the mic, and it's like, perfect.
That's great.
She was the tough in... like Father, Like Clown, she was the tough waitress, just saying to Bart, you know, hey, brush head.
Oh. Yeah.
You gonna order something?
That's great.
So I love old broads like that.
That was her. And, oh boy, all sorts of stuff happening in that wedding chapel scene. Because you'll recall the first couple is Cletus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not the Cletus that
it's
we know.
It's not the Cletus we know later. But that name came from a Little League coach. Mm-hmm. One of my Little League coaches was a guy named Cletus.
Where'd you grow up?
Houston.
The past.
Oh, okay. The past.
It was a striking name at the time. It was a name you remember. Anyway, he wasn't a hillbilly. He was a plumber.
Right, but Cletus. Yeah.
But, his name was Cletus, so it was mm-hmm. a name that stuck in my head, and I used it later. And that's the sort of thing that's so funny is you'll go to Simpsons Land at Universal Studios here.
Yeah.
And there's Cletus's Chicken Shack.
Yeah.
And you just sort of think, holy cow.
It's because of me.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not a joke. It's just a name. But if I'd had a different Little League coach, this wouldn't be here.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. The other Apu's last name, you'll recall, is...
Recall, but can't necessarily pronounce.
Nahasapima Padalan.
Yeah. Thank you.
And a kid from India who I went to junior high with was in my gym class, and his entire name is very similar to Apu's last name. Mm-hmm. And I remembered it because the gym teacher would go down the aisles, take and roll, and he'd be like, Martin McCoy. And he'd get to this kid, and he'd say, there's my buddy.
Oh, my goodness. That's fooling a damn beautiful. Soul. You know what? I'd do the same thing. I'd be like, you're Apu N. There's my buddy. That's hilarious.
I remember watching this episode with my dad as a kid, and I mean, there are a few jokes that I remember my dad laughing at super hard, but the Justice of Peace made him laugh so much. Just him, like, the... when
well,
he points to
I'll
both
tell
of
you,
them.
I liked that joke, and I actually remember it was hard to convey in a script.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, points at Homer mm-hmm. makes clicking noise, points at Marge makes popping noise.
Yeah.
And so I was very keen that joke go well at the table reading, so I went to Hank Azaria before and said, hey, Hank, it goes like this. Do you, Homer, take Marge? Yeah, and just to make sure... That went
and
over.
He sold it. It's he's a goddamn professional.
And I sort of like there's a time dissolve there to 1 minute later. It was a short, simple ceremony.
I love it.
Finally, the big day came. We didn't have much money, so I went to a quaint little chapel just across the state line.
Basic ceremony's $20. Here's your license. Be sure to get this punched every time. The 10th wedding is on the house.
Hey, this marriage is gonna last forever.
No matter how many times I hear that, it always makes me laugh.
Cletus, do you take Aileen to be your lawful wedded wife?
Yep.
Done. Next!
There certainly are a lot of stains on the ceiling.
Marge, I'm sorry. I wish I could afford a better place.
Homer, I'd be lying if I said that this is how I pictured my wedding day. But you are how I pictured my husband.
I am?
Well, you may not look like Ted Bessel, but you're just as nice.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and his casino to join
Homer
and
Marge
in holy matrimony. Beautiful. Do you, Marjorie Bouvier, take Homer J. Simpson to be a lawful wedded husband?
I do.
Homer, same question, names reversed.
I do.
Then, by the power vested in me by the State Gaming Commission, I pronounce you man and wife. Here's $10 worth of chips. You may kiss the bride. Next!
Yeah, I mean, it's just so perfect for them and so sweet that, I don't know, that they're just so in love in this. It's like,
Marge is so sweet in this episode, boy.
Yeah.
I love the proposal, too. We pass that over. Just it's perfect for Homer and Marge that they would go to kind of like a make-out, you know, mm-hmm. hill. And Homer mm-hmm. has lost the note card. Mm-hmm. And, of course, just his butt crack in her face. And this is the most beautiful moment of my life. But reading the card, it's so sweet.
She reads the card. I just love it. It's like, yep, that's the one.
Give it here.
Give it here.
Yeah, that's it. Give it here. No, a good. Well, there were a couple of good treacle cutters in that. There's that, and skipping forward, the onion ring.
That makes me cry.
It's very sweet. And then the oil's burning her finger. Mm-hmm. And then Homer.
I also
eats
love
it.
He eats it, but also I really like Marge like putting her finger in her mouth to like kind of get the oil off. But they're both doing it, and just the animation is very, very sweet and cute. And it makes Marge seem even more young, kind of, that she would mm-hmm. eat like finger grease, I guess.
Credit to the animators.
Yes.
There.
Yeah.
Very sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And also one of the jokes outside of the scene that I think is great is when Homer does the candle job, and there's just this kid. He's like, what a crappy candle, and like, you ruined our vacation.
Yeah, so funny.
Right.
I love a candle kid. First, handle first is something I think about
I'll tell you about that. My brother, there was an actual door-to-door knife company, I believe, called Cutco.
Cutco still exists.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure it does.
It's
I'm
crazy.
Sure it does. And my brother.
They were getting everybody to sell
for brother, you know, when he was in his early 20s, trying to figure out how to make money, actually went to a Cutco sales seminar mm-hmm. and all that, you know, explaining how they sell it. And he came and told me, oh, boy, was it corny. And the thing I remember was you say to your potential customer, here, shake hands with the Cutco.
Oh, my God.
And so that was...
Candle first?
Yes. So that was simply rattling around in my head is something you do in your early 20s.
Yeah, I mean,
when you're desperate
absolutely.
To make money.
I also love the way that old lady's animated, just going, my God! Like, it's so great.
Yes. And
candle first.
Well, here, if we're going to get real arcane, she says, oh, hello, young man, to Homer. And there was a Jerry Lewis movie called Hardly Working.
Uh-huh.
That came out like in 1980, believe it or not. Mm. And a bunch of us in college were kind of obsessed with it because it was just such an odd Jerry Lewis comeback movie.
Him on the way out.
And
coming back.
He takes a lot of odd jobs, and at one point he's a door-to-door salesman. And, you know, very middle-aged Jerry Lewis, some lady comes to the door and says, oh, hello, young man. And a bunch of us in college, many of whom went on to write for The Simpsons, were just very taken with that moment. We're really breaking things down into tiny pieces here.
Oh,
but
no, it's perfect.
I guess that's what this podcast is, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah and I mean, I love Jerry Lewis being like, yeah, that's right, I am a young man. Like, not batting an eye at that, like, his preference. That's very funny.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a really fun sequence of just him trying to raise money. And there's just, like, such great motivation in this episode of mm-hmm. Homer being very pure and trying to be a good man. And it's heartbreaking when he realizes that in order to kind of save Marge's life, he has to exit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just like, oh, man, it
it's very sweet. He sends
the
money home, and Marge, like, she's, you know, I heard a noise and thought it was Homer.
Depressing.
She's like, you know,
she's distraught. Well, also, Patty and Selma, you know, they see him at the gulp and blow. And also, it's very funny that the women in men's rooms are gulps and blows.
I had not remembered that. I think that's an animator joke, frankly.
Yeah.
I don't recall ever writing that one. And so, yeah, I guess it's gulps and blows as girls and boys.
That's
but
so funny.
You could get it wrong.
Yeah, you could.
I love jokes like that because it's so cheesy that a lot of restaurants do that in general.
Another thing I hadn't noticed is at the gulp and blow on the menu, the outdoor menu, you can apparently order beer.
Oh, yeah, they serve beer there.
Very nice.
It's not a joke. I don't know what it is. And you think, like, is that cut off? Is it root beer? No.
Just
what kind of drive-thru place
is
this?
Now?
Really?
Yeah.
At a drive-thru burger joint?
There's a place called the Oinkster that's not too far from here where you can get some beer.
To go?
I don't know to go.
Because, yeah, for drive-through, I don't think that's legal.
Well, oh, I don't well, venture mind. Into this part of town.
This town's crazy.
Come over more often.
yeah. One other thing that I think is great is that although we see everyone else has kind of like aged differently, even Smithers, who I love in this episode too, like I love his hair in this one. Just
yeah,
like,
it's
instead
great.
Of the spikes, it's just kind of like pointed forward in this weird way. But I love that he's in the Alpha Tau fraternity, and these two
right.
guys were in it as well, which is super funny.
Now here's just an odd piece of trivia is my old frat buddy Lou Collier, mm-hmm. and that's the nickname of John Collier, who's simply another college friend, uh-huh. and I just needed a name, and he's a pal of mine. And years later, he would write for The Simpsons.
Wow!
Like John Frank.
Oh, that's nice. Great.
Professor Frank was just a friend of Jay Kogan's,
yeah.
and he says, "Oh, I got a friend Frank. Use that funny name."
Yeah, yeah.
And then years later, he writes for The Simpsons and the Gammels, or
can
a family who's introduced.
Can you throw my name in an episode, and then I'll? Is that how it works?
Sure.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. No, I love that. Like, and it's hard to imagine all that we know now about Smithers, like him being a kegmeister back
it
in college.
Doesn't,
it's
yeah,
a little different.
His character
yeah.
maybe not evolved fully
right,
at that point.
Right. But I mean, just that whole instance of like, you know, college buddies going like. They talk about that a lot when you go to college, like, oh, you know, you will find other people that have went to this college in the world, and then they will want to hire you. And to see that in its most blatant sense is it
yes.
works for this story. And yeah, it's pretty
yeah.
funny.
You don't think of Smithers now as a kegmeister.
No.
I really like the test, even though we already kind of know that he's not going to get the job because Homer's not friends with Smithers previously. His answers are hilarious. Just when he's saying, like, there's a problem with the reactor. What do you do? And Homer yells, there's a problem with the reactor. We're all going to die. And he just
yeah.
runs out screaming.
Yeah, I saw that. And then pretty soon after, he goes to that seminar about the pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
God.
It's like, and that guy panics and runs out of the room.
I know.
So it's like, when in doubt, that's how to end a scene, I guess.
I love that you guys do that. I love, like, you know, one of my favorite...
What, repeat jokes?
No.
Jumping out of windows.
Jumping out a window.
Yeah.
My favorite, and we've talked about this a ton, but my favorite is PTA disbands, and the guy jumping out of the window during the meeting and then, like, jumping back in is the funniest. It's so great.
Yeah, and in we talked about this episode recently, but in the barbershop episode, the she weighs 200 tons. This giant woman will crush us all.
that was
the Statue of Liberty.
You know, by golly, that was taken from life too at Epcot Center at the America Pavilion.
Yeah,
they had harmony singers singing patriotic uh-huh. songs called. They were called something like the Kids of Liberty or something,
right,
something
of course,
like that.
Up with people.
Voices of Liberty, something
yeah.
like that. And they had a little patter like, we're going to dedicate this next song to a very special lady.
No.
She weighs 200
no.
tons. Wink. And, you know, you file this stuff away.
That's
very
that's
funny.
Use no
it
one
later.
Freaked out in the crowd? I thought that's where you were going to go.
Right. This enormous
and somebody
woman
ran
will
into
all.
That fake river there.
I meant the statue.
I love,
funny.
So, I was kind of saying that, like, everyone is, they all look younger except for Mr. Burns, which is even funnier because
oh, yeah.
he's just so old. But I love him playing Pac-Man. It's so great. And in our little guidebook, you could see there's a still of him where he's kind of got it reflected on his
yeah.
face.
A nice
yeah.
piece of animation.
Yeah.
Pretty sophisticated for those days. Yeah, again, just you're thinking what was around in 1980, just
right.
remembering.
But I love that he would have one in his office.
I know.
It's so funny.
Well, he's wealthy.
And I love the way this episode ends with Homer being, you know, so motivated. He knows he just needs to do something. He needs to get Marge back. He needs to support
the donut
the family.
Truck.
Yeah, because of the donut truck.
Oh, yeah.
But I love the way that he marches into Mr. Burns'
well,
office.
Hank is there. Boy, Hank could really get the maximum
yeah.
out of just a tiny thing. Like we were talking about the preacher there, the justice of the peace.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, you're just doing that, they have donuts, and just,
yeah.
does that's right, all the colors of the
I
rainbow.
Know.
And like the sun, like just pouring on them. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
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 No, he could really just take one line
yeah.
and nail it. And
he's
I realized that one of the first episodes I worked on was, again, that Homer, the mascot one.
Mm-hmm.
And when Homer is bombing, is dancing Homer in Capital
mm-hmm.
City, and they're saying, oh, this isn't funny. And a guy in the audience says, Something like, these cornball antics may play in the sticks, but this is Capital City. Just a hilarious snob voice.
Yeah.
It was very odd, because for some reason the character doing it seems to be missing a tooth. So
I love it, though.
It's an oddly memorable moment.
The best, dare I say.
But I kind of interrupted you talking about just like the very touching and funny and cool thing that Homer kind of does at the end, if you wanted to pick up just what he says.
Of just him being so determined and dogged and being like, you're gonna give me a job and I don't care, you know, just like that kind of motivation. I really like it when Homer takes the wheel and gets very like aggressive for the right cause.
That's it Come closer. Ironic, isn't it? The hunter has become the hunted. Oh, God, Smithers, I feel so alive.
You the boss?
Yes.
I'll call security, sir.
Well, listen to me, Mr. Big Shot. If you're looking for the kind of employee who takes abuse and never sticks up for himself, I'm your man. You can treat me like dirt, and I'll still kiss your butt and call it ice cream. And if you don't like it, I can change.
Hold the phone, Smithers. I like your attitude. Feisty, yet spineless.
Sir, this man not only failed the aptitude test, he got trapped in a closet on his way out.
I don't care. I haven't been this impressed since I first laid eyes on a young bootlick named Waylon Smithers.
You mean?
Welcome aboard, son.
I got the job! Woohoo! Only in America could I get a job.
Who was that young Hellcat, Smithers?
Homer Simpson, sir.
Simpson, eh? I'll remember that name.
Well, Homer can get things done.
Yeah, if you really
when
puts
he gets
him,
determined.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's also funny, like
I mean, yeah, when Flanders has his left-handed store and it's failing.
Yeah.
And Homer decides, I'm going to save that store, and by golly,
yeah,
he gets it done.
I know, which makes it kind of sad to see him be such a lazy oaf for most of the time, because you're like,
he's saving energy.
Yeah, he's saving energy.
Maybe he's a bit like you and me. Huh?
Yeah. You know what? Absolutely.
Until he's absolutely.
Oh, for creative people and deadlines? Are you kidding me? Yeah, absolutely. I will wait until 2 hours before. Then I'll march into Mr. Burns' office. But yeah.
What he says is funny, too, because like he has the passion of someone who's saying that he's going to be great at his job, but really he's just saying he's going to be a kiss-ass, which I think is very clever.
Yes.
Well,
because it's realistic.
This is, well, frankly, this is like a joke I'd used over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, if I'm taking a stand, I'd say, and if that's not good enough for you, I can change.
Yeah, yeah. And it's perfect because it directly appeals to Mr. Burns, and he even compares him to a young Smithers.
Oh, that's, yeah, and just one more piece of trivia is that's the first time we learned Smithers' name is Waylon.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first mention of that.
Nice.
And I believe that was taken from, Waylon, you ever hear of Waylon Flowers and Madam?
No.
Okay, this is like, I guess in the 80s, there was a very odd puppet, an old lady puppet named Madam.
Oh, yes.
Operated by,
I do know what you're talking about.
The late Waylon Flowers.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
I would never have known.
Yeah.
One moment that I'll go back to it after, because we're in this moment of Homer being kind of triumphant, and that energy carries over when he goes to tell Marge the news, and then of course she's already at the hospital, but he has so much confidence that he even says that he's going to deliver the baby.
Stand back, I'll deliver this baby. Yeah, he's getting over his skis a bit.
Yeah.
But I also, it's very charming that he kind of reveals that he got the job by putting down Patty and Selma, just like, no, you listen, like I
exactly.
paid for this delivery, and I'm going to do it, so you're going to give me some respect.
Oh, I love
I was
that.
Happy with that. They're so mean to him in that episode.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It wasn't my line, but shut up with that pin scratching.
Yeah. That's so funny. Well, I also love their joke of when Homer says, like, when he's talking to the baby, he's like, when you come out, you're going to see a man who has a real job. Yeah, the doctor.
Yes. They're so mean to him throughout, and he's so beaten down that, yes, it is a gratifying moment when he goes,
yeah,
no,
absolutely.
You listen.
Yeah, because, yeah, they're just, like, so mean in general, consistently mean to him, and, yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of the Patty Selma stuff that was good, just because it's here in our book anyway, is Patty says, I don't know what you see in that ugly meatball. Selma says, uh-huh, if you liked being powered by something fat and lazy, we could get a cat, which I thought was also just a cute. And like, they have a lot of punchlines.
And then the mom says, it would leave less hair on the couch.
I love that. And I love it when Homer calls Mrs. Bouvier mom, and she just shudders and goes, don't you ever call me that
That
again.
Made me really sad.
Ow. I found it relatable. I feel like a lot of people would have that stance with their future sons-in-laws.
Oh, another moment is when Homer is talking about working at the power plant. Marge reminds him, just like, I think that could, like, you know, make you sterile. And Homer's just like, now you tell me.
Yeah. Very funny. Yeah, man, what a great episode.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thank
you. Are there any stray moments or anything that you recall from this episode that we didn't really get a chance to talk to?
More stray than I've already done.
I'm
looking at just you have the book open. It's got the Colonial Village, and it just reminds me of how the rule was. I remember Matt Groening said Springfield has one of everything.
That's great. Yeah, and of course it would have a ye old or whatever,
right,
you know.
Right.
An old town kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, Springfield, I feel like, is the most diverse city in the world for that, especially now that it's been on for, I don't know, how many seasons are we at now? Do you have a theory for how it's going to end?
26, 27 seasons?
Yeah, I think so.
How it will end?
Are you shy to put that on the record?
Oh, well, I have no say in it at this point. there's no great plan. I'm almost certain.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of the final episode of Lost.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
How to keep people watching? They were saying, it'll all make sense.
All will be revealed.
All will be revealed. Don't worry. We've got a whole eschatology here that's all going to pay off.
Right.
The numbers and the polar bear and all this stuff. And I remember about halfway through season two just thinking, no, you
There's
don't.
No way.
With Lost, yeah.
You were right.
I mean, sometimes you can. I think it's a happy accident when you can tie everything up together, especially with like a show like Lost, you know, where you can just sort of go back and be like, all right, what did we plant earlier? And then maybe figure it out. But if it goes on, it's hard when like the audience is demanding more and more and more, and you're like, ooh.
No, TV doesn't work that way. You don't know if you're going to be picked up.
Absolutely.
For 6 years. Okay,
you don't get a choice.
I'll tell you how I can relate to that is in the sort of follow-up episode that in Lisa's first word. It was revealed that Maggie will talk at the end of this episode. Maggie's going to talk. Maggie will say her first word. And Liz Taylor's doing the voice and so forth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's built up. And then you'll recall, and at the end of the episode, it's a sweet moment where, you know, he can't get Homer in the episode, can't get Bart to say daddy. And then finally Maggie, after he leaves, when she's by herself, says daddy. And it's rather sweet, though the internet was rolling.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, what, that's it?
Ugh.
And you're just sort of thinking,
give
well,
and we give.
Well, no, I wasn't bitter about it, but at the same time, you think, okay, now what word would have blown you away?
Right, yeah.
We're limited to one word here. You tell me.
Disenfranchisement, Terry.
What word?
Impregnable.
Really grabbed you.
I thought that moment really sweet.
Yeah, and I met Liz Taylor. So cool.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, met Liz Taylor, met the Beatles, met Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like not a bad life.
It was a lucky life.
Yeah.
And, well, mostly just because, my God, people still care about it.
So much.
All these years later.
Yeah, it must be very surreal to see that there's a theme park. That there are two theme parks.
Yeah, it's very gratifying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, okay, good. People really like it. Neat.
What was your biggest, meeting a celebrity working on The Simpsons moment where it, like, kind of blew you away, either because you didn't anticipate them being so cool or that it was just interesting?
Well, I can give you
them.
A couple. One was, Johnny Carson had retired and had really laid low. had not done anything for 9 months or so when he agreed to do The Simpsons. And he came in, just drove himself, and you know, he was just like, "Oh, let me tell you, you guys got a funny show." And came in, he did a great job, and he was exceedingly charming. Just he was funny and gracious, and did the job terrific. And afterwards, I just thought, like, boy, that is the most charming man I've met in my entire life.
There's a reason.
Yes, no, there. I mean, he did not have arguably TV's greatest career,
right,
as
right.
a fluke.
Uh-huh.
And you know, obviously had all sorts of, you know, had a coldness to him and had his demons in his private life. But in that setting, boy,
yeah.
You know, it was just blinding charm, and mm-hmm. that was interesting. You know, I'd always been. We're all big Beatles fans, and yeah. Homer's Barbershop Quartet, of course, is
that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Beatles takeoff. So I didn't get to meet George. Mm-hmm. He did a line for that. Mike Reese met him and came back, and he was just beaming.
Yeah,
but I did get to do the Ringo recording
for
another
fun.
Episode.
Yeah,
yeah, and mm-hmm. and he's you know just chatting with a Beatle. Can't beat it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I say, and just for something to say, I'm sort of like, hey, so this is the third time you've been animated. There were the old Beatles cartoons, and there was mm-hmm. Yellow Submarine. And Ringo just very laconically says, Yellow Submarine was better. He said, even I know that.
So funny.
And when we were, you'll recall, he's speaking Liverpudlian, and he's saying, like, you know, me favorite color is blue. Me real first name is Richard. Thanks yeah. for the fab painting. I hung it on me wall.
I love that.
And so, yes. And so then he says, P.S., forgive the lateness of my reply. You'll yes. recall is the line. Mm-hmm. And we're thinking, well, what did he say? Me reply? Try that. And he says, P.S., forgive the lateness of me reply. And then he just goes, that doesn't work.
That's so
funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So there you go. A little behind-the-scenes stuff.
God, not a bad day at work.
No, not at all. And Liz Taylor showed up. She had an actual toy poodle yeah. on a pillow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That she was carrying.
What a woman.
Handed off to an assistant.
What a woman.
Yes.
What was it like coming back in the most recent season? You came back like this year.
Well, I did. We were talking about the Hollywood Bowl show.
Yeah.
And after that, I think Jim Brooks that guy used to write songs for the show.
Back.
Would he come back and write an episode of songs? And Al Jean asked me if I would. And I said, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd love to. And what it was, so I wrote the one that aired a few months ago was how Lisa got her Marge back,
mm-hmm.
just where Lisa overhears Marge saying she hates jazz.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's sort of wooing Lisa's cold to her, and they take a girls' weekend in Capital City. It was easy is what it was. I just brought the story in, and they said, great. And also, since it's uncomfortable to have the person who wrote an episode in the room when you're rewriting it,
mm-hmm.
they, you know, I simply turned in a draft, and they said, thanks.
Oh, man, lucky you.
Yeah, yeah, it's easier all around.
It's
easier all around. So, and actually, I've written another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they say, you want to write another one? Sure. So yeah. I wrote one that I turned in about a month ago that it involves Mo making a big play for Marge.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Is there music in this one as well?
There is a little music.
That's great.
Oh, great.
I really love all the music stuff in it. It really adds so much to it.
Thanks. Yeah. It's fun.
Well, it's not just like, I mean, you said that you wrote the Flaming Moe song too, which I've put on like legitimate mixes.
Really?
It's fun and it's a good song. But there's something about like, I mean, A, you guys totally don't have to have great musical parody or music in general for having a primetime animation show, but you did.
Well, except that stuff works best if you make it as good as possible.
Absolutely. Yeah. No,
you know, you don't write a bad song on purpose.
Right.
You write the best possible one you can and still assume it will come off funny.
Well, what I was saying is that, you could still produce a show that doesn't have these songs in it, and it would still be a great show called The Simpsons. But whenever you guys do a song, I just love how serious the singers consistently are, which I think really, really sells the song that much more.
That's right.
And it's really enjoyable to hear. Just, I love people being earnest, and I love people having full conviction. So I feel like that's consistent, even if it's just a jingle or, Tony Bennett singing.
Right. Well, Tony just sang it with such conviction that it was pretty thrilling. And the thing I like about, I am pleased with that song that there's something a little off about it. It's like people stop and scream hello. It's against the law to frown.
It's so funny.
And then it's you'll caper like a stupid clown. And somebody misheard that, and they print the lyrics like in this book as you'll gape like a stupid clown.
That was a long walk.
Well, that bugged me. I couldn't think of a two-syllable word.
Right.
I'll just gape and I'll add a little noise to the
people
end of it.
People do that, but you're smarter than
that. So let the record show.
Okay.
The line is caper.
That's so funny. This is a Simpsons pod exclusive.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest. This was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, it was such a pleasure for me.
Yeah, thanks. We really appreciate it. I mean, it's always a delight having people that were working on it, but you especially brought so much to this discussion, and I just really want to say thanks.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
And then do you want to plug anything that you got going on, or just...
Absolutely not.
In the woods.
my daughters write for Henry Danger and the Thundermans.
Awesome. Check that out.
On Nickelodeon. Watch
Wonderful.
Those. The Simpsons doesn't need any help.
No, certainly not.
Well, thanks again so much. And then, Julia, where can people find you?
At Julia Prescott on all the things. Allie, where can people find you?
Thank you for asking. You can find me at Allie Gertz and all the things. You can find our intern, Brandon, at Hell Yes Brandon, who's making us sound good on the ones and twos. And you can follow us at Simpsons Pod and Everything's Coming Up Podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah, and please continue to support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/SimpsonsPod. You know who just supported us?
Oh, tell me signed who. On?
Jason J.
Jason J. Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So thank you, Jason. And go to our Patreon page. There are goodies waiting for you there.
And we will see you next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
You light up my days and fill my night with song. It can't be wrong. When it feels so good, right? 'Cause you. Mwah.
Our song.
I bet the guy she was singing that about was real happy.
Actually, she was singing about God.
Oh, well, he's always happy. No, wait, he's always mad.